going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9, please. Daniel chapter 9, as we continue our study through the book of Daniel today. And as we continue our study today, we now come to Daniel's third vision, Daniel's vision of the prophecy of the 70 weeks. So the prophecy of the 70 weeks, part one, the general introduction is what we're looking at today. Prophecy of the 70 weeks, part one, the general introduction. Now, as we study Daniel chapter 9, we now arrive at another extraordinary chapter found in the book of Daniel. One of the most important prophecies in the Old Testament, and one of the most important revelations regarding the future development of God's plan concerning his kingdom and concerning the nation of Israel. In fact, verses 24 through 27 alone set forth God's plan for Israel from the time of the life of Daniel until the establishment of Christ's rule on earth. So this is Daniel's third vision, the prophecy of the 70 weeks, and it's a foundational chapter in understanding biblical prophecy, understanding the vital overview of the nation of Israel, and understanding the premillennialism view of the scriptures. Daniel's vision arrived in 538 BC, about 67 years after Jerusalem first went into captivity, and Daniel was taken into captivity in 605 BC. It occurred about 15 years after his second vision. Chronologically speaking, Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, comes exactly after Daniel chapter 5, verse 31. So we need to keep that in mind. It comes right after Belshazzar's feast in chapter 5, and sometime either before or sometime immediately after Daniel was in the lion's den under King Darius, the same king we'll speak about in this chapter. Now, after reading from the writings of the prophet Jeremiah, Daniel recognized that the imminent return of Israel into their land was near. And he realized for the return into the land, Israel needed to have a change of heart and they needed to have a change of attitude. He's concerned about the future of Israel and what is going to happen to them now that the 70 years of captivity is coming to an end. So he begins to pray concerning what is going to happen to Israel. Now, just as Daniel was faithful in looking forward to Israel's return to Jerusalem, we should be faithful in looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Psalm 105, verse 4 says, "Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always." Micah 7:7 says, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me." Titus 2:13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God our Savior, Jesus Christ." And Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Keep that thought in mind. Keep looking up. Look for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is near. Daniel believed God's word concerning the return of Israel back to their homeland. And acting upon that information that he has received, he's searching the scriptures as this passage of scripture opens in chapter 9. He's looking for God's will concerning the future of Israel. Now, he has already been given the plans of the Gentile nations in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, and Daniel chapter 8. But he also knows with the captivity coming to an end, based upon what he has read in Jeremiah chapter 25 and Jeremiah chapter 29, that the captivity is coming to an end also. So he knows it's near. As we will see in the first two verses, we too should be diligently in searching the scripture to find out and understand God's will for our life, and we should be diligently praying about it like Daniel is in this passage of Scripture. Now, as we open this chapter here, Daniel chapter 9, in a general sense, it can be divided into two main parts. It could be divided into the prayer offered by Daniel in verses 1 through 23, and it could be divided into the second part, the prophecy given to Daniel in verses 24. Now, most theologians divide it this way: the prelude, verses 1 and 2, the prayer offered by Daniel, verses 3 through 19, the personal appearance of the angel Gabriel in verses 20 through 23, and the prophecy given to Daniel in verses 24 through 27. I have chose to just simply divide this chapter into Daniel's prayer and Daniel's prophecy. And as we look at it, we need to understand that Daniel's prayer consists of three parts: Daniel's confession, Daniel's intercession, and Daniel's petition in verses 3 through 19, with the main emphasis being on his confession. In fact, he used 47 plural pronouns in 27 verses, one in every single verse in his prayer. And he even uses the first person plural in confessing his sin to identify himself with the nation of Israel, even though he may not have sinned at that time. But we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Another example of this type of prayer that we'll see here in Daniel chapter 9 in the days to come is found in Ezra chapter 9, verses 5 through 15. Daniel's prophecy also consists of three different parts too. In verses 24 through 27, we're going to see the first part being 7 weeks, the second part being 62 weeks, and the third part being a 70th week. We will briefly discuss that today in our general introduction, but we will study about both the prayer and the prophecy in days to come. We're going to look at verse 24. Verse 24 is an actual summary of this chapter. So look with me at verse 24 as we read verse 24. It says, 70 weeks are determined, which the word means decreed, upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Six principles that are very important that need to be accomplished concerning the overall vision of the 70 weeks. Now, in this passage of Scripture, in verse 24, in different places, it speaks about the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of the city and the rebuilding of the city wall. Just keep that thought in your mind. And we're going to look at Daniel today a little differently than we've been looking at the previous chapters in our other weeks. We're going to read the first two verses of this chapter. We're going to make some comments on the first two verses of this chapter. Then we're actually going to read our outline that I passed out to you. And then after we read our outline, we're going to actually look at the charts that we gave you today so we again can have a general understanding of what this 70 weeks means. So we're going to do a little mathematics today. But don't panic as we go through these 70 weeks. We will cover the prophecy in detail farther down the line. So let's look at verses 1 and 2 of this passage of Scripture. And the first thing I want you to notice about verses 1 and 2 in this passage of Scripture is this: learn that Daniel's prayer was rooted in Scripture, verses 1 and 2. Daniel's prayer was rooted in Scripture. Let's read the reign of power that took place in verse 1 at this time and look at the reason why Daniel prayed in verse 2. It says, the reign of power, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Azarias, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Verse 2, the reason of his prayer. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood the books. Now, he doesn't mention exactly what books he's looking at, but he will speak about two particularly in a moment here. The number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to me, came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in desolations of Jerusalem. So the reign of power. Daniel now received this third vision in the first year of Darius. That takes us back to Daniel chapter 5, chronologically speaking. So keep your finger here for a moment and turn back to Daniel chapter 5, because we're going to read Daniel chapter 5, verses 30 and 31, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4 of chapter 6, so we can understand the position that Daniel is in when he gets this vision. Verse 30 says, "In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Chapter 6. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. When this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because of an excellent spirit that was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." And of course, the presidents here says, "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." These verses tell us the position of Daniel. He was well respected in the land of Babylon before they were taken over by the Medes and the Persians, and he was well respected in the realm of the Medes and Persians. So understand now in this passage of Scripture, as we open Daniel chapter 9, Babylon has just fallen. We've spoken about it before. The Medes and the Persians are now in control, and Daniel is still in the land of Babylon. He's reading from the books. Two of the books he's reading from is Jeremiah chapter 25 and Jeremiah chapter 29 concerning the 70-year captivity. So he knows the 70-year captivity is actually coming to an end. That's important. He knows that something is going to take place because Cyrus now and Darius now has now taken control of the kingdom. So he goes to the Lord in prayer. Now keep in mind, he also knows from other scriptures too that Israel themselves violated the Sabbath years. He knows that for 490 years they have not kept the Sabbath. Remember what it says in the scripture in Leviticus chapter 25 verses 1 through 7? That says that every 6 years they were to till the land and work the ground, but on that seventh year they were to stop and cease. Well, they violated that for 490 years. So God sent them into captivity for the purpose of their disobedience. That's where we find this position as we're talking about the 70 years coming to an end here that Daniel is speaking about. Now, it has nothing to do particularly about the 70 weeks. You can't take the 70 years and the 70 weeks and say it's the same thing. It's not. But you're going to see how God uses this in a very special way. So, let me share with you three principles concerning Daniel reading from the books of Jeremiah, and then we'll go into our outline that we passed out today. First, Daniel understood that the 70 years was literal 70 years, and that it was coming to an end. The captivity soon would be over. Two, he realized that the word of God would be fulfilled, but after a much-needed time of prayer and confession. And number three, He recognized the need for that confession and a national repentance by Israel in prayer and confession if God was going to bless them to go back into their promised land. With those things in mind, go to the outline that I've given you today. We're going to simply read some parts, and then we're going to go over the chart. Daniel's third vision, the prophecy of the 70 weeks, the fulfilled promise to Israel, the general introduction, part one. That's what we're looking at on your sheet. Now, if someone were to ask us to make a list of the greatest chapters in the Bible about prayer and prophecy, Daniel chapter 9 would have to be included in our list. Biblical scholars throughout the ages have noted how exceptional this chapter is concerning the two aforementioned subjects, prayer and prophecy. And it is one of the most important chapters in the Bible, and definitely in the Old Testament. Daniel's prayer takes up the biggest section of this chapter. And Daniel's prayer is a wonderful example for every believer to follow. It is an example of what praying should be like. Prayer is motivated by the Word of God and the understanding of the will of God. Dr. Jeremiah, in his book, Handwriting on the Wall, said, Daniel's prayer is a prayer of what praying ought to be, a masterpiece for us to admire, a dramatic example of principles to follow. It is a prayer that grows out of the Word of God. Prayer is not to get God to change His will. It is not getting God to adjust His program to what we want. It is adjusting our lives to the revealed will of God. And how true is that? That's exactly how we find Daniel as this chapter begins to unfold. Daniel, a faithful student of the Word of God and a fervent prayer warrior, searching the Scriptures, receiving God's divine prophecy for the future of Israel. Daniel chapter 9 probably contains the most important prophetic truth laid down in the entire Bible. At least most preachers believe that. And then I gave you some references here. Sir Edward Denny called it the backbone of prophecy. Ironside called it the greatest of all time prophecies. Concerning the verses in this chapter, Loophole wrote, they unroll a panorama of history that is without parallel even to the sacred scriptures. And Philip Newell calls it the greatest chapter in the book of Daniel and one of the greatest of the entire Bible. Any man without prejudice who studies scripture and history will readily admit it's divine inspiration, and it is amazingly accurate. Now, we'll examine this chapter in two different headings. The prayer offered to Daniel, verses 1 through 23, and the prophecy received by Daniel in verses 24 through 27. And that order of the two divisions is very important. Daniel knew to understand the will of God, he first needed to understand the Word of God. And that same thing applies to us today. So while Daniel chapters 2, 7, and 8 reveals God's plan for the Gentile nations, Daniel chapter 9 reveals God's fulfillment in prophecy for the nation of Israel. And understanding this chapter is key to our understanding of God's plan of redemption and prophecy, understanding future history, and the fulfillment of God's covenant promise with the nation of Israel. And what I've done is I've switched now and put a couple things, terminology that it's important to know. The word Lord in this chapter appears as Adonai or Yahweh 17 times in 27 verses. It's the proper name for the deity of God. The title Adonai refers to God as a master, as our authority, or as our provider. And I have placed three verses there for you to read when you get home or to look at concerning that. The title or the word Yahweh stresses the inner reaction that the Lord has with us, that the Lord has with man. It is a name in which God enters a covenant relationship with Israel also, according to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And it speaks of God's gracious redemptive nature and his justice, according to Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. It is an appropriate name to use when Daniel reflects on God graciously ending the 70-year period of captivity and desolation towards Israel in verse 2. So in Daniel's prayer for restoration, he's going to mention four times the phrase, "we have sinned." You can see it in verse 5, Daniel says, "we have sinned." He says it again in verse 8, "we have sinned." He says it again in verse 11 and verse 15, "we have sinned." He mentions the wickedness of Israel twice in verses 5 and 15. He mentions Israel being in rebellion or revolt in verses 5 and 9. And he omits Israel's transgressions in verses 7 and 11. And as he closes his prayer, he then prays for God's mercy in verses 15 and 16. And then he prays for God's deliverance in verses 17 through 19 as the prayer comes to an end. And he uses, as I said, these 47 plural pronouns in 27 verses to admit his sinfulness and the sinfulness of the nation of Israel. Now, if you look at your outline, you'll see that there's three specific steps that brought Daniel to this place of prayer. First, his reading of the Word of God. Second, the recognition of Israel's spiritual condition. And third, the reflection of God's true nature and God's true attributes. Those things brought Daniel to this prayer. And at the same time, he had some special requests about God's mercy and about God's deliverance. So he speaks of God's covenant in verses 4 through 6, God's righteousness in verses 7 through 14, or 7 and 14, I'm sorry, God's forgiveness in verses 9 and 19, and God's law in verses 10 and 13. Now, he also uses another term in this scripture. He uses it, and it's called confusion of faces. He uses it in verse 7 and verse 8. It literally means a shameful thing. Israel has done a shameful thing. They have humiliated themselves. Have you ever done something wrong, right? And you had to face someone, and you knew you did something wrong. Don't you sometimes make your face turn red, or you know you've done something wrong and something's going to happen? That's the thought in the passage of Scripture right there. And there's also another word that's very important. Look at your outline. It's the word weeks in this prophecy. In Daniel's prophecy, he mentions in verse 24, 70 weeks. That's very important. It is the Hebrew word heptao, which literally means sevens of sevens. It is an actual unit of measure. It means seven things. A heptad is a collection of seven things. Just like we use the phrase today, a dozen. If I was to say to you, Brother Joe, go out and get me a dozen, the first thing you would say to me, a dozen of what? A dozen of eggs? A dozen of donuts? A dozen of bagels? Dozen of oranges. That's the phrase, seven. Seven heptads or sevens are determined or decreed in verse 24. The reference means a group of 7 years. So in your outline for verse 24, you need to understand when he's speaking of 70 weeks, Daniel is actually speaking of 490 years in the Hebrew calendar. He's not speaking 70 weeks. We'll be talking about the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, the wall of Jerusalem, that could not have been done in 70 weeks. He's speaking of 490 years. So 70 years of weeks, or 70 times 70, 490 total years. There's no question here in this passage of Scripture that weeks and 7 years are used together, okay, synonymously. years of Daniel's prophecy. I think it was you, Brother Steve, who asked last week concerning the prophetic year or the Hebrew calendar. Okay? The Hebrew calendar consisted of 360 days. It consisted of 12 months of 30 days. It was not like our current calendar of 365 days today, where we also have leap years on certain times. It was a set lunar calendar. 12 months, 360 days, 30 days every single month. So I think that answers your question from last week. Now I want to stop for a second and ask you to keep your finger here in the Bible to Daniel chapter 9 and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. As we go over and review the verses in Jeremiah chapter 25 and Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, I've actually, in your outline, given you more verses than probably what Daniel was looking at or what most people think Daniel is looking at, but I think it will give us a greater indication of what's going on. We know for sure that Daniel is reading Jeremiah chapter 25. Let's pick up the reading of Jeremiah chapter 25 in verse 8, and we'll read down to verse 12. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon, here it comes, 70 years. Verse 12 says, and it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. Now turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29 for a second. There, Jeremiah chapter 29. And let's read verses 10 through 14 of Jeremiah chapter 29. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So you can see from these verses right here the thoughts almost of Daniel. Wow, Babylon has fallen, but wait, the Medes and the Persians have taken over Babylon. And I'm reading Jeremiah, and he says the 70 years of captivity will come to an end. Well, I've been here in the land of Babylon 67 years. It's getting close. It's about to come to an end. And he may have been reading other passages of Scripture, because it says the books. Some believe that he was reading from the 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 18 through 21. But these are the key figures here. So it's as though God is saying, yes, Daniel, you discovered rightly what you were reading. The 70 years captivity is coming to an end. But I don't want you to think about the 490 years that caused that captivity. I want to share with you what's going to happen in the future for the next 490 in 90 years. I want to give you my plan for Israel, my plan for Jerusalem, my plan for the holy city and the temple of Jerusalem. So the angel will come and tell Daniel that 70 weeks of years, or 70 times 7, a period of 490 years, will be required in this prophecy. Now keep that in mind. Now, if you have a pen with you, you might want to write this down, because these four things are very important. In verse 24, Daniel mentions 70 weeks. That 70 weeks in verse 24 literally means 490 years. In verse 25, Daniel mentions 7 weeks. That 7 weeks literally means 49 years. And in Daniel's chapter 25 and 26, he mentions 62 weeks, which is literally 62 weeks. And that is 434 years. Okay? And then finally, in verse 27, he mentions a week, or 7 years. A week is 7 years. Now, I know it sounds confusing right now, but don't panic. We will go over this in the future. All right? So then what I've done is, on the next page, I put the time frame of Daniel's vision. What I just discussed with you, really, in the opening of this Sunday school lesson. And we're going to skip over that, because I want us to go to the time frame of the prophecy. The first thing that Daniel was to know and to understand about the prophecy that he was receiving is that the 70 weeks, or the 490 years mentioned in verse 24, was to be divided into three parts. And I've listed the three parts for you. Part 1 is 49 years, 7 weeks. Part 2 is 334 years, or 62 weeks. And part 3 is 7 years, or 1 week. So I want you to go to the handout that you have right here that looks like this, stapled on the big page, and understand, if you're looking at the Old Testament prophecy here we are talking about, the very first upper line right here, where it says 70 weeks, 490 years, that's verse 24. And then we need to understand that where it says over on the left side, 7 weeks or 49 years, that's verse 25. And where it says 62 weeks, that's verse 26. And where it says 1 week or 7 years, that's verse 27. So Daniel is to learn that this prophecy is really broken down into three parts. 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and a week. That's the three parts. Now don't worry about what it says on the bottom yet, but we'll discuss that in a moment. So let's discuss the three parts. And we can do that by either continuing to look at this one, this outline that you have here, or going to the larger outline that looks like this, except mine is color-coded so I can see what I'm doing. All right? And let's look at part one. Part one in our outline is 7 weeks of years. 7 times 70 is 49. And if you want to go to look at this outline, you will see that verse 25 right here is 7 weeks or 49 years. Let's read what it says in our outline. The first period of 49 years, which was the starting point of the prophecy, would commence with the commandment to restore and to build or rebuild Jerusalem, verse 25. There were several decrees or commands involving the restoration of the worship at Jerusalem and the reconstruction of the temple, which we will discuss later. But the decree that issued by Artaxerxes in 445 BC is the correct starting point due to the reference in this chapter, Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, concerning building the wall. Now, I say that because if you were to look at the different decrees, there were actually three different decrees that were issued concerning the rebuilding of Jerusalem. One was just to rebuild the temple and start the worship. Another one was to rebuild the temple again. Another one, or a third one, was for the purpose of confirming that Cyrus originally gave the decree to rebuild. But only one mentions or deals with the wall. And that's the one that we're talking about here by Artaxerxes. The decree was issued in 445 BC. It's the correct starting point that we need to look at when we look at our chart that looks like this. It was in the 20th year of his realm, according to Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. We'll not look at that today, but Nehemiah was the servant at the time. He was the cupbearer of the king. He goes to the king with the king's wine, and the king wants to know why he's so sad. And he says, because my city is in ruins. And then the king gives him permission to go back and rebuild the city and rebuild the wall. It kind of looks like this from what I've written in your outline. God's servant Nehemiah said to the people, come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. That's Nehemiah 2, verse 17. So the wall was finished. Nehemiah 6, verse 15, from the time of the decree of Artaxerxes to the close of the Old Testament canon, concluded with the prophecy of Malachi, it covers 7 years. Now remember, 7 years is 7 times 7. It's 49. So go back and look at this chart right here that we're looking at, and you will see the very beginning on the left is the command to rebuild the city and the temple, and the wall. 49 years later, after they started the rebuild, the book of Malachi ends, and the temple is restored. Okay? That's part one. That's the first part of this prophecy, which is 7 weeks. But there's another part, a second part. And the first part and the second part join together. Okay, there's going to be 62 more weeks or 434 years that combine. Look back at your outline again under part two. 62 weeks of years or 62 sevens, however you want to put it, is 434 years. So the first period of 49 years, while mentioned separately, from this 434 years, is really joined together in two periods of combined total history of 69 weeks. Okay? 483 years. And those two combinations are history that has passed. It has gone already. And the time discussed in this period is found in verse 26, and it's on your chart there. It's an amazing prophecy, not only of the start of the rebuild of the temple, but also the finish of the rebuild of the temple. And it ends with Christ riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. So let's read it, what it says. Here is stated the exact time of Christ's rejection, a prediction given more than 4 centuries before he was born. Had the Jews of Christ's day believed Daniel's prophecy, they would have known that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised Messiah and King. John 1, verses 10 and 11, John 19, verses 13 through 15. Now, if you take March 14th, 445 BC, when the decree by Artaxerxes was issued to rebuild Jerusalem, and you add it into days, it comes up to 173,880 days. Or the combination of part one and part two, which is actually how many years? Somebody tell me. How much? 483. Now think about that for a second. From 445 BC, the decree, until Christ's triumphal entry, over 173,000 days later, okay, we have a prophecy estimated as around 6 April 32 AD, when Christ rode into the city on the donkey. And that is prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. I mean, it's a prophecy, hundreds of years ahead. But the Jews didn't realize that. What a stinging rebuke to the nation of Israel by not realizing that their own Messiah had come. So in that same verse, we see another significant prophecy in verse 26. That is, at the end of the 69 weeks after Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the Messiah goes to the cross, and verse 26 in this passage of Scripture says, he's cut off. He's cut off. And even later, Titus will come with the Roman armies in 70 AD, according to verse 26, and he'll destroy the city of Jerusalem. Now think about that for a moment. So what does Christ do, or God do, I might say, also, after Jesus is crucified? He changes and gives the Gentiles the opportunity to be saved. He places Israel as a nation on hold. So if you're looking at this chart right here, what you're going to see is right after the cross of Christ, right after 70 AD, you're going to see what we call the church age. And the church age is a gap. It's an interphase of time that's not mentioned in Daniel's prophecy, because Daniel's prophecy is only concerning the nation of Israel. That is where we are right now. We are in the church age, or we are at a gap or a time frame where God is working on Gentiles to be saved also. But he will come back in the end of history and regather his nation together, because he's not forgotten his nation. So look at part three of this passage of Scripture, or because this is the third part of this prophecy as it's broken down. Verse 25, 7 weeks. Verse 26 in Daniel chapter 9, 62 weeks. Then the gap that we're in right now, a postponement of time for the nation of Israel, you might say. And then we're going to have a 70th week, which is 7 years. And how do we know that 7 years? What do we call that 7 years? The time of the great tribulation, or Jacob's trouble. The very next thing that's going to happen right now in the church age is the rapture of the church. If you look at your chart, it shows it there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51, 52. That is why our church practices the premillennial view of the Scriptures. That next thing to happen is Christ is going to return. And then as Christ returns, the Antichrist will rise up in the final 7 years and try to take power over the world. So let's just look at part three in our outline. Part three, 1 week of years equals 7 years. Okay? This brings us to the 70th week described in verse 27 of this prophecy. It is a 1 week remaining of 70 weeks of the 490 total years. So we've seen all the weeks go by, all 483 weeks, except seven. All right? So it says here, it is here that we need to understand the first 69 weeks are separated from the last week by an interval of time, by a time gap, or by a parenthesis, which we call the church age. 483 years have passed concerning this prophecy of 490 years. The 70th week, or the final week, is yet to come. It's future. It's future fulfillment. It's when Israel finally accepts Christ as their Savior and that he is the rightful heir to the throne of David. And we are currently, before that happens, living in that gap age, or what we call the church age, until that final 7 years comes and God deals with the Antichrist at the end. So you can see it laid out here on this outline that we have given you. And if you follow the verses and go back to Daniel chapter 9 and read those verses, you'll see this prophecy will begin to unfold. Now, we are not going to discuss the prophecy today. This is just a general information situation for us to kind of have a good understanding of what's going on. Because Daniel focuses most of this chapter on his prayer than he does the four verses of prophecy. Now, I'm not saying the four verses of prophecy is not important. It is very important. But what the greater part of the prophecy is the prayer. It is the longest prayer in the Bible. Definitely the longest prayer in the Old Testament. And it's funny, you're going to see something very interesting as we look at Daniel's prayer. It is different than the Lord's Prayer, our Father, the model prayer, but it's very important in that it's similar in many ways, whether it be confession, intercession, petition. So as we close, we have a correction that I need to give you here in when I did the outline. Simply stated, the time frame we are about to discuss can be broken down as follows. Events before the 69 weeks, that actually word, instead of being before, is the word beginning. Events beginning the 69 weeks, verse 25. Okay? That was my fault. Then the events during the 69 weeks, verse 26. And then the events during the 70th, or the last week, verse 27. And according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, which is the key verse in Daniel chapter 9, the summary verse, we might say, there are six purposes that need to be fulfilled in this prophecy. And they have not been completed yet. So that's why we know there's a final week that's yet to happen, because we have to finish the transgression, we have to make an end of sin, we have to make reconciliation for iniquity. We have to bring an everlasting righteousness unto the earth. We have to seal up the vision of this prophecy. We have to anoint the most holy. And when it says anoint the most holy, it's talking about the Holy of Holies. We know the Holy of Holies does not even exist today. So I know that sounds confusing, but I tried to lay it in an outline for you on sheets to read and to take home and look over. And if you have any questions, you can ask me any questions you might have. Just understand what says the 70 weeks in verse 24. It is not talking about literal weeks. It's talking sevens of sevens. It's talking actually 490-year prophecy that God is giving Daniel here in this passage of Scripture, from the time of his life to the end times. Now, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. Daniel's really only looking for what's going to happen right after the 70 years of the desolation they have themselves in. But that just shows you how great our God is and what he can do when he chooses to do so. All right? I don't know what time it is. Does someone tell me what time it is? Seven up. I'm late. You are dismissed.